off Mahamala basis unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So Akura is known as the Acharya for prayers. There's nine different basic processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. Hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, offering prayers, service, like that. And there's a different acharya for each one. And Akura is the acharya, or the exemplar, for prayers. So within the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find several sections where he offers prayers. Anyone who reads Krishna book, it's very dramatic as he is requested by Kamsa to go and get Krishna from Vrindavan and bring him to Mathura. Now it's interesting because this happens quite frequently. You'll find that although he's a devotee, he's in a situation where he has to serve the demon, Kamsa. And he's a little regretful about that. He said, oh, I'm sure Krishna will understand that I don't really have anything against him, you know. So while he's going to Vrindavan, he's visualizing what will happen. He's saying, oh, I'll see Krishna's footprints and I'll doff my obeisances and then Krishna will embrace me and call me uncle. You know, he's visualizing, or he's getting more and more into ecstasy. And actually what happens is that when he arrives, it actually happens. Famously, he falls down in the dust of Vrindavan, in the footprints of Krishna. He sees Krishna and Balaram standing there. They pull him up and they embrace him. He's in ecstasy. They take him home. They're honoring him. They're not concerned. They know very well what the mission is, you know, but he's actually a devotee. And interesting enough, later on, there's this whole thing with the Syamantaka jewel, as we call Syamantaka jewel. And, he seems to be, you know, in a conspiracy to steal the jewel and everything like that. But in the earlier pastime, of course, he's cursed by the gopis because he takes Krishna from them, from Vrindavan to Mathura. So there's all of this kind of interesting variety. But aside from that, he's known for his prayers. And these prayers that I've chosen here, among several series of prayers, when Krishna's, you know, after the gopis are trying to keep the chariot back, you know, and finally they got out, and they swiftly go toward Mathura from Vrindavan, and they stop at the Yamuna. And in Yamuna, they stop, and Krishna and Balaram get off and take a bath in the Yamuna, and then get back on the chariot. And then Akura goes in, but he sees Krishna and Balaram there in the water. He says, I thought they were on the chariot. And he goes back to the chariot, and they say, have you seen something wonderful? And he doesn't say anything, goes back into the water, and then he sees Balaram as Sheshanag, and Krishna as Vasudev lying on Sheshanag, you know, as Vishnu. So then he offers these prayers, and I wonder, we can chant them together or responsibly. And we'll have a little discussion about him, because somehow these prayers really struck me as something that we can relate to also. Remember this principle of Dainya we've been talking about? It's reflected here. Where Akura, who's a great devotee, intimate devotee of Krishna, he condemns himself after a couple of verses here and says he's also in a very difficult position and prays for it. So first we'll chant, since it's Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So again, the scene, he's standing in the water and he's offering his prayers to Vasudeva, Vishnu, who's there with his forearms and everything on Sheshanag. Bhagavan jiva lokoyam mohitas tava mayaya aham amechasa graho brahmyate karma vartmasu. O Supreme Lord, the living entities in this world are bewildered by your illusory energy. becoming involved in the false concept of I and my, they are forced to wander along the paths of food of work. Aham chatmatma jagara dharata svajanadishu brahmami swapna kalpeshu mudha satya deyavibho. I too am deluded in this way, O Almighty Lord, foolishly thinking my body, children, home, wife, money, and followers to be real, though they are actually as unreal as a dream. And it goes on. Anityanatma dukeshu viparya matiryaham dvandvaramastamo vishto najane tvatmanapriyam. Thus, mistaking the temporary for the eternal, my body for myself, and sources of misery for sources of happiness, I have tried to take pleasure in material dualities. Covered in this way by ignorance, I could not recognize you as the real object of my love. Yata bodo jalam hitva pati channam tarudmavai abhyeti mrigatrishnam vai tadvatvaham paranmukha. Just as a fool overlooks a body of water covered by the vegetation growing in it and chases a mirage, so I have turned away from you. Notseheham kripanadhi kama karma hatang manaha rodham pramatibish chakshair riyamanamitastadaha. My intelligence is so crippled that I cannot find the strength to curb my mind, which is disturbed by material desires and activities and constantly dragged here and there by my obstinate senses. Soham tavang vyupagatosma satam dorapam tachapyaham bhavadanugraha ishamanye pungso bhave jarhi sangsadanapa vargas. Vayab janaba sadupasanayamati syat. Being thus fallen, I am approaching your feet for shelter, O Lord, because although the impure can never attain your feet, I think it is nevertheless possible by your mercy. Only when one's material life has ceased, O lotus-enabled Lord, can one develop consciousness of you by serving your pure devotees? We're going to return to these verses and explore them a little more. Sorry. Namo vijnana matraya sarva pratyaya hetave purushesha padanaya brahmane nanta shakti. Obeisances to the Supreme Absolute Truth, the possessor of unlimited energies. He is the embodiment of pure transcendental knowledge, the source of all kinds of awareness, and the predominator of the forces of nature that rule over the living being. Namaste Vasudevaya sarva-bhuta-kshayayacha rishikesha namastubhyam prapannam pahimam prabho. O son of Vasudev, obeisances to you, within whom all living beings reside. O Lord of the mind and senses, "Again I offer you my obeisances. O Master, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you." And that's the end of his prayers. And you see that he actually has a prayer at the end. He prays for protection. He's requesting after all of that. Now it's interesting that in this last prayer, he addresses him the son of Vasudeva, Vasudeva. So he's speaking to Krishna there. He realizes full well that this Vishnu form is Krishna. So let's go back and churn up a little bit of more understanding here. So, oops, Hare Krishna, that's the last. Bhagavan Jiva Loko Yam. O Supreme Lord, the living entities in this world are bewildered by your illusory energy, become involved in the false concepts of I and my. They are forced to wander along the paths of food of work. So this is a parampara understanding. This is his standard analysis of the material world. So it shows that Akrura, in this position now, he's in the full state of realization. He understands what's going on. He's not at all misidentifying himself. But in the very next verse, he adopts that dainya mood, which is means that, no, I'm the same way. I'm no better than them, because he wants to be in the position where he can call out helplessly to the Lord. You understand? This is the mood. So therefore in the next verse he says, and this one somehow really struck me when I first read it. I too am deluded in this way, O Almighty Lord, foolishly thinking my body, children, home, wife, money, and followers to be real, although they are actually as unreal as a dream. So this swapna kalpeshu, this idea that material life, whatever we're undergoing here, has the nature of a dream. I remember listening to a talk by Prabhupada where he talked about the daydream and the night dream. At night we have a dream, and when we're in the dream, it seems real to us. Sometimes it can be very frightening, sometimes it can be very attractive. When we wake up, if it's very frightening, we say, oh, thank God it's just a dream. If it's very nice, we say, oh, let me go back to sleep, maybe I can recapture that dream. So, and then we go about our day. Oh, now I have to go to work or go to school or whatever, take care of the kids. And you think that's your real life. But Prabhupada points out, that's just as much a dream. In the sense that all of this ephemeral matter that's going on, including your own body and your own mind, none of it is permanent. It's just Krishna's external energy. That has been a certain configuration that provides us with what looks like a consistent world, but is ultimately no more real, no more substantial than the night dream. Krishna speaks about this right at the beginning of his teachings. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha, ubhiyora vidrishtontas tranayostatvadarshivi. If you read the second chapter, like four or five verses in, this is what he says. For the asat, there is no bhava, there is no ultimate existence. This is all asat. This is all temporary, changing. That's why we have this word bhavasagara. Does anyone can tell me what bhavasagara means? Okay. You know what the sagara is? An ocean. And bhava is? Yeah, bhava really means to change. The changing world. And it's come to mean birth, old age, disease, and death. So we want to try to cross over that ocean. From the, right? Asatomav sadgamaya. Everyone knows that. You learned it from childhood, right? So, please take me from the asat to the sat, from the temporary to the eternal, from the darkness to light, from death to immortality. Isn't that the standard phrase? So this is all asat. And although the daytime may last longer, we only sleep 6-8 hours, and we get another 16 hours, but that doesn't mean anything. It's just as ephemeral. But we place all the value on it, on our attention and our hopes and our desires and fears are wrapped up in this changing world. So this is a basic principle of our philosophy, is to see, to have a different perspective about what's important and what's real in this world. We know that the soul is real. He says, nasato vidyate bhavo. There's no ultimate existence for the asat. Na bhavo vidyate sata. There's no abhava, non-existence, for the sat, which is the soul, the super soul, everything spiritual. So this is what his analysis is in that first verse. Everyone is taking it, you know, Brahmyate, Karma Bhartmasu. They're wandering on the paths of karma. But I'm no better. He says, I'm also taking all of these ephemeral things to be real, just like a dream. So I'm also a fool. Buddha Satya Diavio. So now in that awareness, what's the result of it? Anityanatma Dukeshu. So that which is anitya, mean temporary, is this word viparya is important. You see that in the second line? That means reversed. Is everything, it means that I'm taking the anitya, the temporary, to be nitya. I'm taking the anatma, that which is not me, the body, to be me. And I'm taking the things which bring misery to be sources of happiness. And in that mentality, this is called dvandvarama. I'm trying to enjoy the dualities of this world. And entering further and further into darkness and ignorance. And the greatest tragedy of all, I've completely forgotten you. And if I know something about you, I don't take you to be my real object of love, Priyam. See, this is the result of... He's describing in one verse the effect of Maya, of the Maya energy on the conditioned soul. So, then he gives a wonderful analogy, which is comes up again and again in the Bhagavatam. Yatabhado jalam hitva. Just like a abuddha, a fool, or a foolish animal, say. See that word mrga trishna in the third line? Now mrga often means animal or deer. And mrga trishna means that which the deer thirsts after. In other words, a mirage. It's a mirage. It looks real. When you get to it, it's not really there. So he says, just like a fool overlooks the body of water covered by vegetation growing in it. Now that's very significant, because this whole world is like this mirage, and is grown out of the real water. The real water, the water visualize this scene. There's a desert, and in the desert there's an oasis. And in the oasis, this thirsty person who's unfortunately a fool, he's standing at the edge of the oasis, and right next to his feet is a nice pool of water. But it's covered by vegetation that's grown out of the water, see? So he doesn't see it, doesn't understand. Looks out in the desert, oh, there's a beautiful lake out there. Runs out into the lake and dies, or, you know, is frustrated. So that's the situation here, is that the reality is Krishna and the internal energy. But all of this that covers him has grown out of him. You see, this is all his energy. So this is all the vegetation. And we take that, we've forgotten the essence, which is Krishna, just like we all have in our heart, right? A reservoir of pleasure. Krishna's there. We have faith, right? And wherever Krishna is, I heard Prabhupada say this, the whole spiritual world is there. The gopis and the cows and everything, it's all there in our heart. But we can't perceive it. We've forgotten it. It's covered by the material energy, by a material mind, which has also grown out of Krishna. That's the whole idea. So now what happens? The foolish soul, he runs after the mirage, and in the similar way, I have turned away from you. Tudvatvaham paranmukha. This paranmukha is a recurring theme. Just like this verse about fear. Because this is what happens. When we lose touch with Krishna, and our protector and our master, we are cast into the world here and become a fearful situation. Bhayam vitiya vinaveshitak syad ishada petasya viparyayo mati. Notice that word viparyaya. Same word. So what he's saying, the fear arises when the soul turns away. Bhayam ishada petasya means to turn away from the Isha, the Lord, and become absorbed in the dualities of this world or the material energy. Completely forget about Krishna. Viparya, everything becomes reversed, as he described. We take the sources of misery to be sources of pleasure. The sense pleasures in this world ultimately bring misery. Read fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, it says, Yehi sangsparjaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate. This is a very revolutionary statement, that the very enjoyments that you're getting, it may be in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. Doesn't matter. That's the source of your misery. Dukkha yoni, the source of your misery. The wise don't take their pleasure there. Because they have a beginning and an end. But if we forget that, we're in trouble. So this Dvandvarama, trying to enjoy the dualities of this world, ignoring Krishna, this is the source of our whole entering further and further into darkness, and we forget all about Krishna, that he's our dearmost friend and master. So he gives the analogy of that animal or the foolish soul. So what's the situation? Well, I have to bring myself, I have to control my mind and come back to Krishna. He says, oh, that's also not possible. Notes to hey, kripanadi. My intelligence is so crippled, kripanadi. I can't find the strength to curb my mind, which is disturbed by material desires and activities and constantly dragged here and there by my obstinate senses. So can we relate to this? You know, sometimes the mind is just out of control, and you know you should chant Hare Krishna and do the right thing, but you can't control it. The whole problem is the mind. It's the mind that is the vehicle of transmigration, for sure. Let's read the 15th chapter. And it's the mind that is drawing us away, that is rebelling against Krishna. Because it's so habituated, conditioned. So like any yoga process, this bhakti yoga process is meant to cleanse the mind, cleanse the heart, and train the mind to think of Krishna, the reality, so that we can once again regain our rightful place at Krishna's lotus feet. It's not easy because the mind is so powerful. How does Arjuna describe it? Who knows the verse in the 6th chapter? Chanchalam hi pramati balabhadvridham tasyaham nigraham manye vayariva suduskaram. I don't know how much experience you have up here with hurricanes. I used to live in Miami for 6 years. And I was fortunate. We had never had a direct hit, but every time the hurricane season would come, like July to October, everybody would be very conscious of the weather map, you know, watching those hurricanes. And now they're even worse because of climate change. But you cannot do anything. You know, there's nothing that you can do except either batten down the hatches or get out of town when these hurricanes blow up. The wind is so powerful. So Arjuna is saying to Krishna in the 6th chapter, because Krishna outlined the Ashtanga yoga process, which is a bona fide process for controlling the mind, but it's very difficult in this age. We're just not suited to it. Is anyone ready to hear to go off to the Himalayas into a cave somewhere, be completely alone, you know, forever, in 10,000 years, and try to... I mean, some of us may have practiced a little yoga. I did, you know. In New York City, I went and did a little hatha yoga, and then we did a little meditation. After 10 minutes, it's really hard. You know, the knees are hurting, you know, and you got so many things. It's just impossible. But Krishna consciousness, you have to do it. In other words, the control of the mind is essential. So this process of chanting, especially congregational chanting, but also the japa chanting we've been talking about, this can actually work. Why? Because Krishna is all attractive. The mind is looking for attractive things to think about and experience. So Krishna, because he's all attractive, if you can just get absorbed a little bit in the chanting of the holy name, you can feel the attraction of Krishna. Do you know, this is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I believe, and in Prabhupada's talks, that Krishna's flute sound, which we know from the Leela, attracts the gopis, attracts everyone in the universe, actually. That's manifest in this material world as the Hare Krishna mantra. Did anyone hear that before? Yes. That's why, just by chanting, you get attracted to Krishna. Now, we have so many barriers, but that's what's happening. And so, just like Krishna says at the beginning of the 7th chapter, after Arjuna says, pleads with him, you know, okay, and Krishna says, well, yes, it's very difficult, but it's possible by practice. And Arjuna says, okay, but what if I fail? Right? Won't I be like a riven cloud? In other words, I've given up my material life as a kshatriya and everything, gone off to the Himalayas to meditate, and I can't control it, but I've lost that life, I don't have this life, so I'm in the middle, I'm nowhere. So Krishna says, no, don't worry. You know, you'll get born in a family of yogis or a wealthy family, you won't have, you know, another you can. But Arjuna is not very happy with that, you know. So Krishna says, Don't worry. You're already the best yogi. Yogi nama bisarvesham mudgate. One who is always thinking of me with great faith, who is loving me and with bhakti, worshipping me, they're the best yogis. The very next verse, first verse of the seventh chapter, Krishna gives the key. And we know that the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita are the essence, right? Prabhupada has mentioned that. So that starts with the seventh chapter. Maya saktamanaparta yogam yunjan marashaya asankshiyang samagramanyatat gyasati tachinu. Now I'm going to tell you how your mind can be attracted to me. You see? In other words, if you have a process by where the mind can naturally be attracted, then where do you have to do all of the wrestling with the mind, with the yoga process, you see? That's bhakti yoga. And then he begins to see, well, how you can see me in your daily activities? Vaso hum apsukhante. You know, you're drinking water. I'm that water. I'm the energy, you see? In this way, the first step is seeing Krishna. So, he says, I don't have the strength. So what is he going to do? Give up? No, next verse is the solution. Being thus fallen, I'm approaching your feet for shelter, O Lord, because although the impure can never attain your feet, I think it is nevertheless possible by your mercy. Only when one's material life has ceased, O Lotus Navel Lord, can one develop consciousness of you by serving your pure devotees. Now this reminds me, remember we did that song, Krishna Bhavantam Bande, Manmanasamatakatama Payidita Papapankatamakadande. I think many of you were here. This is an appeal. Rupa Goswami's in the same mood, and he's saying, my dear Lord, the assumption is, I can't control my mind, but you're so powerful, you place to be in my mind in your lotus feet. You see? It's the same idea. Is that, I can't do it on my own. I don't have the strength to control my crazy mind. But I'm bowing down to your lotus feet anyway. Because, even though the impure like me can't attain it, by your mercy it's possible. In other words, we're in that situation, being Kali Yugites. Right? This is a fallen age. Just walking outside, you get contaminated. Everything, the water, the earth, the ether, you know, is very contaminated. So, our only hope is appealing to Krishna in this completely fallen state. You're so powerful, I'm dependent on you. You please, you know, purify me and bring me to your lotus feet. That's the advantage of the Kali Yuga. Is that we can genuinely take stock of our situation and see that it's completely helpless without Krishna's mercy. But we have to have the strength and the presence of mind to recognize our helplessness and call out to Krishna and his representatives with deep feeling and desperation. And that's what we're talking about, this prayer. So he's giving us a template here about how we can feel and how we can also approach Krishna in prayer. So then he goes on. And now he's offering, standard obeisances. Namo Vijnana Matraya, his embodiment of pure transcendental knowledge, source of all kinds of awareness, predominator. And then at the end, he asks for, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. So this is a perfect example of Bhagavatam prayers. I thought I would pick this out. There are many other examples. But, I didn't have, time to really do so much more. So what I'd like to do, because otherwise I don't think we're going to get a chance to do it, to do the Shikshastika. Shikshastika also has beautiful prayers, like four or five prayers right in the middle. We can, and it's kind of a touchstone for all of us. If we can really meditate on Shikshastika, there's some beautiful commentaries on it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a commentary, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, on each verse. Very important. His Bhajana Rahasya is also based on the Shikshastika. So there's a lot of resources. But I put it into a little English poem. And I don't know, back in 2005, I happened to be in Mayapur. It was the year after the installation. And they had like a consolation prize. They couldn't make it the year before. They had the beautiful bathing. I don't know if you've ever seen this massive bathing where they come with all these juices again and again all over the world. It's very impressive. So I watched that of the Panchatattva. And then one devotee asked me, you have to do the Shikshastika. And I said, I don't think so. I can't do it. I had a sore throat and I hadn't rehearsed, I didn't remember it. He said, no, you have to do it. And he pulled me up, you know, onto the stage. And there was Vyasaki on my side, and there was Indra behind me, and Ramnath Swami was over there, and there's Chachinanda. Talk about stage fright. So there it was. So I did it. And I didn't even know one Russian devotee was videotaping it. So it ended up on YouTube. And after 13 years, I have like a couple of thousand hits, big deal. But that's, you know, wherever I go, people say, well, can we do the Shikshastika song? Anyway, I don't see any. Do we have anyone who can play the drum here? Give a little accompaniment? Even just to keep the beat? We can do it a cappella. So, okay, let's do it. So, anyway, is that a drummer? Are you a drummer? Oh, very good. All right, we'll wait. Now, what about cartels? That's easy, right? Somebody can keep... All right, let me get my little box. Okay. Ada Vagni Nirvapanam Shriya Kaidavachan. Oh, wait a minute. You gotta come closer so I can hear you. That'll help. Yeah, you too. And don't play soft, you gotta play loud, okay? Okay. Ready? Okay. Let us see. I'm just waiting for her. You ready? Chetodapanamajanam Bhavamahada Vagni Nirvapanam Sheyakaidavachandrika Vatadanam Vinjavadu Jivanam Anandam Buddhivardhanam Padipadam Purnamita Svadhanam Sarvatmasnaparam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the chanting of Sri Krishna's holy names, which easily extinguishes samsara's blazing flames by polishing the lust-encrusted mirror of the heart. That chanting is the waxy moon that knows the secret art of causing the white lotus of good fortune to unfurl its petals far and wide throughout this bleak and blighted world of transcendental knowledge, which will take us to life's goal. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna's the life and soul. The ocean of ecstatic bliss floods far beyond its bounds. Wherever Krishna's merciful and mystic name resounds. Indeed, whenever Krishna's names are sung in congregation, at every step one tastes the joy, knows no limitation. So hear with great attention, as I earnestly request, please chant Sri Krishna's holy names and be supremely blessed. The soothing nectar of the name will bathe your consciousness, bestow pure love for Krishna, and eradicate distress. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Not too fast, not too fast. Boom, boom, boom. Nam Nam Kari Bahudali Deserva Shaktis Tatra pita niyamitak smaranena kala etadrishi tabakupa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idrisham me hajanina anuraga. Krishna, Govinda, and Keshava too, your names have no end, and in each of them you have invested in your potencies, leaving none out. Whenever we want, we can chant them without the slightest restriction of time or of place. O Lord, who can fathom your infinite grace? Yet I am so wretched, devoid of all shame, that I haven't developed a taste for your name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tadorapi Sahishnuna, Amanena manadena kirtaniyak sadahari trinadapi sunichena rodapi sahishnuna amanena manadena kirtaniyak more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, to think all praise belongs to others, none belongs to me. These qualities attract the Lord to bless one with the power to chant his name incessantly until the final hour. To chant his name incessantly until the final hour. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Adananga jananga sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani swade bapata bhakti dahoy tukitvahi nadananga jananga sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani swade bapata bhakti dahoy tukitvahi. Wealth and women, followers, the fruits of mundane piety, liberation from this world of limitless anxiety. For me, O Lord, these common goals have not the slightest worth. Let me serve you purely now and in each future birth. Let me serve you purely now and in each future birth. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam bodo kripayata vapada pankaja sita duli sadusham vichindaya. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam bodo kripayata vapada pankaja sita duli sadusham vichindaya. Your servant for eternity, I lost my true identity and fell into this horrid sea of birth and death, O Lord. O Nanda son, please hear my plea. By your sweet grace, consider me a speck of dust upon your lotus feet forevermore. A speck of dust upon your lotus feet forevermore. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nayanam Galadashudavaya Vadanam Gadadudhaya Gada Pulaka Nichitam Papukadata Vanamo Gahane Bavishati Nayanam Galadashudavaya Vadanam Gadadudhaya Gada Pulaka Nichitam Papukadata Vanamo Gahane Bavishati. Tears streaming from my eyes, my voice choked with bliss, the hairs upon my body standing up in happiness. When will all these signs of rapture decorate my limbs? As I chant your holy name, the monarch of all hymns. As I chant your holy name, the monarch of all hymns. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yugaitam name shena chakshusha pravashahitam Shunyahitam jagat savam govinda vidahe name Yugahitam name shena chakshusha pravashahitam Shunyahitam jagat savam govinda vidahe name Govinda vidahe name. Every moment drags on like a million years or more. From the rain clouds of my eyes, the tears in torrents pour. This whole creation's nothing but a vast and joyless void. Oh, Govinda, by her absence, I am being destroyed. Oh, Govinda, by her absence, I am being destroyed. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Bo, bo. Ashlishya vapa radatam panashtumam adarshanam mamahatam karotuva yatatata vavidhatulampato matprananatas tusahevanapara matprananatas tusahevanapara. Let Madhava embrace this maid who's fallen at his feet, or let him trample me or my most ardent hopes defeat, by never giving me a chance to see him anywhere, thus shattering my heart and plunging me into despair. You see he is a reckless libertine and not a saint, so let him act in any way he likes without restraint. Yet though this cruel and crooked ways may cause me constant woe, Krishna is the only Lord my heart shall ever know. Krishna is the only Lord my heart shall ever know. Hey, Krishna is the only Lord my heart shall ever know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Go Premanandi, Hare Hare Bol. I'm sorry, there's one other verse here.
which I didn't include by mistake. I'll give it to you, a cappella. Just to explain, this Shikshastika was not written as an ashtaka. I don't know if you know that. These verses were written at different times by Lord Chaitanya. They're included in the Padyavali in different places, and they were collected, I believe, by Krishna's Kaviraj for the first time in his Chaitanya Charitam as that Shikshastika. Thank you very much. Yeah. Now the thing is, wait a minute, we have another song. Bhaja Hare Mana. So there's no ninth verse. You know, this Palashruti, you can learn that term. Palashruti means the ninth verse, or a verse at the end of, sometimes it's not an ashtaka at any stage, which tells you what the fruit is, what you get by chanting it and hearing it. So you have an ashtaka, like the Kunjabihar ashtaka, that Rupa goes, then there's a ninth verse, you know. So there's no ninth verse, but Krishna's Kaviraj has written of Palashruti. And I don't know the Bengali, but what it is, these eight essential verses, Lord Chaitanya wrote to teach the practice and the goal of chanting Krishna's holy names. Day by day, whoever sings this hymn will surely reach a little closer to perfection, spotless Krishna praying. So this is an encouragement, injunction in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the 20th chapter, to read the Shikshastika every day. Okay, I have one more offering if you want to stay. This is the famous song, Bhajahure Manashi Nandanandana, in English. Same tune. I try to get all the meanings in. So, many of you have heard this song. Now, this is one of Prabhupada's favorite songs. I couldn't help thinking it's his favorite, one of his favorites, because it's got his name in it. Mabhaya Chadanada Vindare. I don't know. But anyway, he loved to sing this song. He taught it to us. All right. Now for this one, I think I have to change the key, so give me a second here. Bhaja Hare Mana. Okay. Oh, wretched and foolish mind, just give up all deceit and worship Krishna's fearless lotus feet. Oh, wretched, foolish mind. Don't waste this human life, stay close to devotees. And cross this worldly sea of misery. And cross this worldly sea of misery. My sleepless nights and days I've simply spent in vain, beset by heat and cold and wind and rain. While blindly serving cunning people steeped in sin. While blindly serving cunning people steeped in sin. In search of fleeting pleasures of the skin. In searching fleeting. Oh, wretched, foolish mind, just give up all deceit and worship Krishna's fearless lotus feet. Don't waste this human life, stay close to devotees. Don't waste this human life, stay close to devotees. And cross this worldly sea of misery. What joy is there in wealth and youth or sons and kin, when I can see my life is tottering.
just like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. Just like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. All mine just serve the feet of Lord Hari. All mine just serve. Oh, wretched, foolish man, just give up all DC and worship Krishna's fearless lotus feet. Don't waste this human life, stay close to devotees. Don't waste this human life, stay close to devotees. And cross this worldly sea of misery. I long to hear and chant about my Lord Hari. Remember him and serve him constantly. And pray to him and worship him and serve his feet. And pray to him and worship him and serve his feet. Become his friend and give myself complete. Become his friend. Uh-oh.
I think that's it. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, I don't really have any more poems. If there's any questions or discussion, we can try to answer your questions. I don't know what time. Are we supposed to go to 4? We're supposed to go to 4:30. 4! It's scheduled for 4:30, but you can always have a nice kirtan. You can meet me. Yes, please.
Yeah. Krishna is very merciful, very loving. I have seen his reciprocations in my life every now and then. I have started feeling that I don't do anything basically. I'm always in anxiety. Actually, whatever is done by him or devotees. That's it in my life. But still, I mean, I'm really feeling deprived of that feeling, really. I mean, that really through gratitude, that softening of heart and so much love for him. I mean, that I have really missed so much, and I feel so bad that how this heart is so hard that it doesn't even does not even properly understand how to reciprocate.
Well, I have to say that it's good that you're feeling the need for that, because a worse position was if you didn't feel the need for it at all, if you weren't missing it. But how to come from the point of missing it to actually tasting it and feeling that you're entering more into the actual feeling of Krishna consciousness. Yeah, let's turn that one up. That's what you're asking. In other words, you feel fortunate that you're in Krishna consciousness, but you're missing the fact that you're not experiencing the higher emotions of Krishna. Is that it? You're not entering into that.
Reciprocate to it. I mean, does he knows that I also love him? I don't know. But because I can't express that.
You know, the thing is, there's no set formula, you know, for doing it. I mean, we've been given so many instructions, and I'll give you, you know, some advice that I've given to others is that the best way to feel more ecstatic is to give Krishna consciousness. Find more ways that you can actually give whatever you have of Krishna. You have so much, the understanding from reading and just being a regular devotee. And millions and millions of people, they have nothing. You know, there's that, and even amongst devotees, there are others who are at a different level. So if you can arrange somehow in your schedule, or even somehow online, there's so many ways you can preach now, something to reach out to others. And try to help others become Krishna conscious, even a little bit. This is so pleasing to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, all the acharyas, that they shower the mercy on you and you feel, you know, more connected. This is, you know, when I was coming up in Krishna consciousness, you know, book distribution started becoming big in the early 70s. I joined in 73 and gradually everyone was going out. So I went out, you know, I went out on the subways and everything. I was never very good at it, but I felt great relief when I found that I really liked to work on the books themselves. And I happened to be by Krishna's arrangement in the temple where the BBT was located. At that time, there was only one BBT. It wasn't even BBT. It was called ISKCON Press. And so I was able to contribute in that way, and it just was a great relief that, oh, okay, so I'm helping to produce the books. Prabhupada is pleased. It's providing ammunition, you know, like that. So that connection with the preaching mission is really what keeps devotees enlivened for years and years together. I know some devotees, Bhrigupati is very famous. We joined together in Brooklyn. You know, he was a book distributor from day one. He's been distributing for 45 years. And always enlivening and able to enliven others, you know, because of that mission. Everyone knows Vaisheshika Babu. Vijay is another one. I met him in Miami when I went there. He joined in 78. He's been distributing for 40 years. And it's just, that's an enlivenment. You feel that connection to Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada and the mission, and you know, even if you may have some rocky places in your devotion. So I would advise you to you know, you may have children and everything, you may be, you know, not able to go out, but to find some means of preaching to others. I know in San Diego, they have these nice bhakti chakras, which are like bhakti vriksha programs. And, you know, there's like four or five, they have different days of the week, and they meet together, and devotees at different levels, you know, they come, and we read a little bit, chanting, and they read Bhagavad Gita together, and then they discuss, and one senior is giving, you know, like that, and it's prasadam. And that's a venue for people to bring others along, and so you have a preaching venue, and it's very much supportive of the whole yatra, you know, like that. So I would advise you to find some preaching venue, you know, that you can regularly engage in, and that'll keep you really enlivened. That's one advice. Any other discussion, question? Yes, Prabhu. Sudhir, Prabhu. I have a verse about Brahma as the most composed individual. Just in a second, I'll give it to you. You've never heard this verse before.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. From your class today and also relating to whatever was presented yesterday, one of the common themes that seem to come up is the free from material desires, the state of being free from material desires. And in yesterday's presentation, it was mentioned that if someone wants to be really free from material desires, one should be praying to Lord Narasimhadev, if I recollect correctly from the presentation yesterday.
Well, probably recommended in the purport there, yeah.
So my question is, Prabhuji, Krishna is the source of all incarnations, and I'm attracted to a particular form of Krishna. So, why is there a reason when devotees, it is mentioned that if you want to have a particular quality, pray to this form of the Lord. Like there are certain places where it comes like that. So is there a reason why, can you help me understand that?
Well, that last statement, I'm not sure. Maybe you're thinking about those verses in the second canto at the beginning that end up with akama sarva kamo va. I mean, what I'm referring to is that when Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit near the beginning of the second canto, he has a series of verses. If you want really good health, then worship the sun god. If you want a beautiful wife, worship Uma. If you want strong senses, worship Indra. And it goes on. It's like 10 or 20 of them. But then at the end of all of that, he says, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara di. If you're really broad-minded and intelligent, Udaradi, then whether you're free of material desires, or you want all kinds of material desires, or you just want liberation, you should worship the Supreme Person, Krishna, with intense devotional service. So the idea of worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev for getting free of material desires, this is something that's kind of standard. One of the reasons why we have Nrisimhadev in Mayapur and other places. There's two reasons. One is the protection of the Dham and protection of the movement. I don't know if you know the history. Many of you may not. Back in 73, there was this attack on the New Vrindavan community. Literally, guys drove in with guns. And the problem was that one young girl had joined the movement. And the brother or the father, I think it was the brother, was very angry, and he was like a biker, you know. And so he got his friends together. They drove in from Tennessee or somewhere. And they knew where she went, and they took over the temple. And they pointed guns into the window, and the devotees were sitting there. And it happened to be, after the Narati, and they were chanting the string of prayers. And they said, shut up, stop that chanting, you know. It was very scary. And what happened was that they actually, one devotee was shot. He was, luckily he wasn't injured too bad, but he was injured. And so they saw the curtains were closed, but they were smart enough to know that there was something behind it that they wanted to sell. They forced them, and they forced them to take the deities off the tent and to drop the deity. The first one was Radharani. Yeah, go ahead. So they had taken Kirtananda Maharaj outside of the temple, and they were threatening to kill him unless they gave this girl back. So inside, they dropped the deity, and Radharani's arm broke or something, and it caused a big crack, and it freaked them out. The guy outside, who was the leader, and he said, oh, something's happening, maybe the police are here. So they ran off, and this was said, oh, Radharani saved the whole situation, you know what I mean? But after that, Prabhupada instituted these Nrisimha prayers after the arti, after every arti, for the protection of the movement, protection of the spiritual master, and so forth. This is how we came to chant that. So, this is, for time immemorial, devotees chant the Nrisimhadev for protection, and also for removing the obstacles to devotion. Now, if you read Nectar Devotion carefully, you'll see that amongst the 64 elements, the worship of Ganesh. It's right there. For getting out free of the obstacles, not for improving your business or anything, for getting free of the obstacles to devotion. So it's not that if you just worship Krishna, everything can't be done. But we're given these prescriptions and these traditions from our forebears, and Srila Prabhupada has given us this recommendation in that purport, which you noted, And so, and the prayer is exactly that. Prahlad is praying that Nrisimhadev, with his thunderbolt-like teeth and his thunderbolt-like claws, will tear asunder all of these material desires in his heart. So, it's not that you can only pray like that, but it's a good idea to do it. At least follow that. If you want to just, recite the English, it's fine. But our main way of getting free of those material desires is undoubtedly chanting the holy name and worshiping Krishna directly. That's the main process. It's not that we stop all that and just worship Nrisimhadev. But since, Prabhupada gave us that injunction, that instruction, and the prayer is there, then we can follow it, if we're inspired to do so. It's not an either-or situation, that's what I'm saying. But this idea that we worship different gods for different purposes, I think that may be a misconstrual of that section I mentioned at the beginning.
I was actually talking about the different incarnations of Krishna. I did not have the demigods in mind when I asked the question. It was more about the different incarnations of Krishna.
Yeah.
And each of them have a predominant quality to them.
Yeah, that you'd have to show me in the books. Because this movement is meant for developing love for Krishna in his original form, Radha and Krishna. That's always the focus, coming back. So you may have a different rasa there, you may have a friendly rasa with Krishna, that's fine. But it's always on that two-handed form, the original Bhagavan Swayam, that we're focusing on. Okay, anyone else? Okay, I promised you a verse. The verse about Brahma. So, composure is your name, Sudhir. So it says, Ashtabir. This is from Vidagdha Madhava. It's not a prayer, but anyway. Ashtabir Shutiputakaya Navabhaya Navaka Kalin Kalayan. Shatadit Bhadita Mukto Malara Prishti Muhur Lutati. Has anyone ever heard this verse before? No. So what I put it into a little poem. It says, Lord Brahma is the gravest soul, supremely self-controlled. An ocean of composure, he's a wonder to behold. But when he hears Govinda's flute produce its maddening sound, he loses it, and on his swan he starts to roll around. This is a very, very serious verse from the Vidagdha Madhava. So this is the kind of verses that Rupa Goswami is giving us. Here's one about Krishna crawling in the yard. Bilvamangal Thakur, besides the Krishna Karanamrita, he wrote so many incredible verses, and there's a long story how I got a hold of them, but I have access to them. So this is describing Krishna crawling. Kinkini kinkina dabasaya ranga nabavadinkina sadatankam. I bow to Hari whose waist bells tinkle as he crawls in his father's yard. His bangles and ankle bells softly jingle as he melts Vrindavan's heart. Why not? In the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, Rupa Goswami has a verse also describing this wonderful maternal ras with Yashoda and Krishna. You know, there's a whole section there. I didn't put it into a poem, but the verse is so beautiful. And it illustrates an image that I think there's probably 100 million of these little, at least, of these deities in India. Little baby Krishna crawling with his hand up, carrying a little butterball, right? Isn't that universally worshipped by every Vaishnava mother? So, this illustrates that. Kanata kanaka kinkani kalapam smitamukamudrana nasika gramuktam kadaduta navanita pindamangri tanayamaveksha nanandananda patni. Now that phrase, nanandananda patni, is itself a genius. Nanda patni is the wife of Nanda, right? Nananda means delighted. So Madhyashoda, Nanda patni, is delighted, so it's nanandananda patni. And then I mentioned to you that the ND sound is in Sanskrit. Maharaj gave this incredible insight how this fellow did the sound test and he saw the powders turning into it. I gotta get that reference. But the sounds have different effects on us. For instance, I'll share with you, before I give you the translation, the double L sound. The double L sound is evocative of the conjugal rus. And you don't have to believe me, you can look in the books. If you see it written out in Devanagari, it looks like two hearts together, the double L. Have you ever seen? So listen to this verse. Ullala ballabala nada dada pallaba chummane norlasitam. Naomi samalli maliam hadamiya halisako pullam. You hear all those L's? So what it says is that at the beginning of the rasa dance, Krishna is very enlivened because he's being kissed by the lips of the trembling gopis. I worship this Krishna, I glorify this Krishna who's wearing a garland of mallika flowers, jasmine. So this is the artistry. Now, back to the Ashtabhi Shutiputakaya. So, no, there was another one I was going to share with you. Okay, one more. This is another one about Krishna crawling. Sambhade Sudabhinam Ambam Aya Sandam Anayantim. Somebody sunabina mamba maya sayantamanu yandim lambalakam balambe tambalam tunabalagna jambalam. So, lambalaka means his hair is hanging down. And jamba is actually mud. His mother grows tired while chasing the sun as he runs among the cows. I ever take shelter of Nanda's boy who's muddy from the pastor's ground. So he's running away from his mother, who, because he's been naughty, he's been stealing, he broke the pot. Now, but what you don't get in the Bhagavatam, he's running, he's small enough, but fast enough, to run and run under the cows, you see, in the meadows, if you can't catch him. But the cow pasture is muddy from all the milk, so he may slip and he gets all kinds of milk mud all over his body. So that's what this is describing. He's running, his mother's growing tired while he's running, and his hair is loose and it's, you know, hanging down, and when she finally catches him, she sees he's all marked with all this mud because he's fallen down. This is the meditation of Bilvamangala Thakur. So these are a certain kind of verses. Just give you a beautiful picture. You don't need any video or anything. It's all in the mind. You can carry it with you wherever you want. You know? And the Bhagavatam is filled with these. We've been talking about the prayers, but what about the songs, the four Gopi Geets? You know? The 21st chapter famous became Venu Geet. This is a meditation on Krishna entering the forest. The gopis, this is what they do. They churn the butter. But their mind is with Krishna. Goes out with Krishna. And then there's this one, I'll end with this one verse. Very famous verse. Barha pidam hatavadava pukarneyo karnikaram bimbran basa kakanaka kapisham vaijayantin chamalam Randran Veno Radhata Sudeya Puriyam Gopa Vrindar Vrindaranyam Swapadadamanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. With lovely pika plume upon his head and fragrant flower placed upon each ear, he enters Braj's woods with graceful tread, a handsome dancing actor without peer. His golden yellow raiment brightly glows, his splendid garland reaches to his knees, and from his luscious lips the nectar flows and fills his flute with charming melodies. As Krishna thus begins his blissful day with coward friends who sing his glory sweet, he beautifies Vrindavan's forest way with fine impressions of his lotus feet. It's a meditation, isn't it? So we have all these treasures to keep the mind enlivened and then keep us enlivened in devotional service. And we can pray that we get a taste. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.